when God is silent. What do you do? What do you do when God is silent? You listen. When the thunder, when the earthquake, when the fire has subsided, you listen. God's voice may be a whisper. Or it may be silence. And in that silence, there's an opportunity for self-awareness. If you listen to the silence of God, you'll see yourself as God sees you. You'll truly get to the bottom of it. Now, God may gradually lead you to that silence with his whisper. But eventually, God will trust you to listen to that silence. And then you will have ears to hear. You will hear the sound of love. The Holy Trinity, before creation, was not cackling, was not chitter-chatting, was not plotting creation. The Holy Trinity, apart from creation, does not need to babble. That's the sound of creation. The angels, before they fell, they were not a bunch of chatterboxes. They were in awe of the glory of God. And heaven is described with beautiful sounds. And if you listen to the silence, it will be beautiful. It will be a taste of heaven that is not dependent upon pleasure, is not affected by pain. When you listen to the silence of God, you will joyfully enter into a life of penance. Now, there are many, many, many paths of penance, many applications of penance. Read the book, if I remember the title correctly, When God is Silent. I can't remember the author exactly, but I'll get that for this video. But I'm pretty sure the title is When God is Silent. He gives you a practical application of penance. He may not phrase it that way, but that's what it is. And it is something I strive towards, but most often fail at. But nonetheless, the life of a Christian is not mediocrity. The life of a Christian is not to elevate yourself and feel good about yourself and coddle yourself. The life of a Christian is to repent and do penance. So you need to constantly examine your conscience and be self-aware and repent and do penance. So this is a practical application of penance. What comes out of your mouth, what you express, if it is for the sake of yourself, then be silent. Be silent. If your life circumstance in your position and in your influence will not cause other people damage by the slander that may come and associate itself with you, even if that slander is false, even if the detraction against you is unjust, if you have no reason to speak out against it and to speak up for yourself other than yourself, if the only reason you respond is your sense of it being unfair and untrue, and that's it, if that's all you can come up with before you, as you analyze your motivation for responding, and if that's it, if for no other reason than that, then you keep your mouth shut. You swallow the pain. You swallow the suffering. You swallow the slander. And in doing so, you are Christ-like. And in doing so, your suffering is redemptive suffering. And you didn't lose that opportunity of penance. Now, you expand and you apply that same rule of thumb. What is coming out of your mouth? Is it for your sake or is it for the other? Is it an act of charity? Is it an act of protecting the helpless? Is it an act of defending the honor of the defenseless? Are you doing it for God or your neighbor? If not, then be silent. Be silent like a lamb to the slaughter. Be with Christ. And guess what? When you're silent, when you've gone through that whole analysis and you realize this is my application of penance, this is my opportunity for redemptive suffering, it's not just silence that you're doing. You're not just fasting for the sake of fasting. You pray for your enemy who speaks wrongly against you. You pray for him and you desire to meet him or her in heaven. That is one tiny little application of a life lived in penance. And when you fail at that tiny little application, well, there is an opportunity for repentance and humility. It is a gift, a treasure, a reward to live for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And when we finally get through that purging fire of God's love into everlasting life, we will be perfect. We will be purged. And we will soak in the glorious life of God, the Holy Trinity, the holy communion of love in the body of Christ, in the communion. We will finally be free from all our attachments to sin, from all of the ego that does not want to be a gift to God and others. We have to start now so that we can get to the end of the purging fire of God's love. Now we enter that purging fire. We don't just come up with one application of penance, we come up with many. We set ourselves up for failure. By God's grace alone, may we correspond to God's grace and conform to His will. And if we fail, then it is an opportunity to receive the grace we need to continue to get up from our fall, from the weight of sin, to pick up our cross and follow Christ in the redemptive suffering of our holy, redemptive, suffering servant. If we want to belong to Christ, we must do as Christ has done. If we want to belong to Christ, we must wash the feet of others, and we must be silent when for no other reason. We must be silent unless it is necessary for us to speak for the sake of God or neighbor. We must be a gift, just as every person in the Holy Trinity is a gift to the other. The Father doesn't think about being the Father. The Son doesn't think about being the Son. The Holy Spirit doesn't think about being the Holy Spirit. They give themselves to the holy communion of the Holy Trinity, which is love, without beginning, without end, and that is what we were made for, to join into, to be in union with, to be fulfilled by. And everything else will purge in that fire. Abide the fire.